into us all generations. Amen. Amen. We are praising God on today. This is the second Sunday of January, and God blessed us on last week, the first Sunday, the first day of the year, in fact, and the first Sunday of the year. And he encouraged us, amen, that we're going to come out fighting. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Fighting for, you know that song, amen? I haven't seen, right? Ear hasn't heard all you have planned for me.
Yeah,
I got to get on with the song. And nothing can separate, cause there's so much more still worth fighting for. And see, that's the thing. So we're going to come out fighting. Why? Because there's so much more that's worth fighting for.
Amen.
Your life's not over. No matter how many blows you've taken, no matter how many things, no matter what the doctor's report says, the credit report says, your child's report card says, I don't care what report, amen. We shall believe the report of the Lord, amen. And we have so much more that's still worth fighting for, amen. And so we're going to come out fighting on this year. Devil not taking anything from you.
Amen.
Number one. And secondly, whatever he may get for a little while, he ain't getting it without a fight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He may get a little something, but he ain't getting it without a fight.
Amen.
He gonna go home saying, where's the ice?
That's right.
That brother was ready for me today. I got a little something, but I don't know if I'm going back tomorrow. Glory to God. Not without a fight. And picking up on this, we're going to jump right into it. God is speaking to us today. I praise God because, you know, through the week I was going through certain things. I just knew God wanted this. I just knew God wanted that. And I just praise God that, you know, for patience. Amen. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And we have to wait for God. Amen. And not try to get out in front. And it's so clear now that in waiting, I believe that we have what the Lord wants us to hear today. And that is that God's got my back.
Amen. Amen.
And it wasn't until this morning that I put the two of them together. Wait a minute. Last week, God told me to come out fighting. And this week, he's telling me, I got your back. So you know what that means? I'm going out fighting. I'm throwing haymakers. Y'all don't get it. If God told you to come out fighting, and this week he's telling you, I got your back, that means you should go out there and you should fight and throw haymakers, knowing that I ain't going to lose this fight.
Amen.
Amen.
They don't believe it, Lord, but we're going to get them there. That sounds like, no, see. Maybe I'm the only one that's excited. Because I'm thinking, if God got my back, you know what that's like? That's like you going into the schoolyard to fight that little bully, and your daddy came with you. Because now you go to him and go, yeah, now what? You know what I mean? Because now you know, I got backup. And I know my daddy can whip everybody in the schoolyard. So now you go down to the schoolyard and little Johnny's about to meet me at 3 o'clock and you brought your dad. You walk into that schoolyard, you come through the chain link fence, because see where we were, the chain link fence was always cut. I know in the suburbs they don't have cut chain link fences. They don't even have chain link fences. But where I come from, there was chain link fences, and after a while you didn't feel like walking all the way around to come through the gate. So if somebody would cut the chain.
Lord Jesus.
Don't act like you don't know, sister.
Yeah, I know.
So you come through the cut chain link fence, and you come in, you go, now what? Because you know your dad's behind you. And that's how we should be with the devil, amen? Because our dad is behind us. And so now God told us to come out fighting, and I don't have to go out there and think, okay, I hope I can hang, because if I can't, God is letting me know on this week, I got your back. So if you start to take a few blows, or if some other people start to jump in, some of his little demons and everything, don't worry, I got your back. And so if God has my back, that means I can fight with full confidence, knowing that I'm going to win this thing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not only am I going to fight, because what would be the blessing if God tell us to come out fighting if we would come back losing? Right? Don't tell me come out fighting. But whoa, glory to God. If he tells us come out fighting and lets us know he got our back, which means we're going to come back with the victory.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm ready for a fight. Oh man, you know, instead of waking up in the morning saying, you know, wondering what the devil going to do to me, the devil needs to be wondering what I'm going to do to him.
Amen.
I heard someone, what's the guy's name from Texas? What's the name from Texas? It's only one man in Texas. Tony Evans, is he in Texas? I think his ministry's in Texas. Amen. And Tony Evans, right, Minister Tony Evans, he said, we should be the type of men that when our feet hit the floor, the devil says, oh crap, he's up. That's how we should be. That when our feet hit the floor, the devil goes, oh man, he's awake. Because he know we are going to bring it to him. I believe that's how God wants us to be on this year, amen? Not running and cowering from the devil, but being so strong in the Lord and in the power of his might that the devil is concerned about you waking up.
Amen.
Amen. You're not concerned that he's walking around like a lion seeking whom he shall devour. The devil's concerned where you're walking. Amen. And hoping that your path don't cross, because he knows that you're coming fully clothed in the armor of God. Amen. With the word of God in your mouth and with faith in your heart and with God backing you up. Amen. So we're going to come out fighting and knowing God's with us. Now let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. I still think I'm more excited than you are. but we're going to change that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to change that. God is going to change that. But let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4. And here we see a familiar story. It's the widow. You remember the widow and her pot of oil?
Yes.
That's what we're going to be looking at today. The widow and her pot of oil. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read from verse number 1 down to verse number 7. Amen. We're going to pray right now, though. Amen. As we prepare to receive the word of God this morning. Let's pray. Father, we bless you on this morning. We thank you, God, one more time for your faithfulness, your love, your goodness in our lives. And Father, we come now, God, excited because we believe this is the time that you will speak unto us from heaven. God, I humble myself under your hand, God, that I may be used by you to communicate and share your heart with your people. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that your will be done. That every word that proceeds out of my mouth, oh God, be a word that you desire to be spoken. Because only your words are anointed. Only your words contain power. And so, Father, we thank you right now, God, as we come to this place in the service, that, Father, you shall speak to us words of life, building us up in our faith and blessing us by the power of your Spirit. And by your word. Father, we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let's look at the word together. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And God is talking to us today, saying, God's got my back. That's what we can each say. Amen. God's got my back.
Amen.
Verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil.
Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God's got my back. And we look at the scripture today, amen. And first of all, let's start with this. You know, we all go through things in this life, right? We have challenges, we have troubles, we have trials, we have tribulations. And sometimes, amen, they pop up occasionally, every now and then, right? You go along and something happens. You go along again and something happens. And then there's other times where it seems like troubles never leave your life. Mm-hmm. You ever get into one of those cycles where it seems like you're just in the midst of trouble? That there's trouble on every hand, amen. That you got car trouble, you got marriage trouble, you got kids trouble, you got trouble sleeping, amen. You got trouble on the job. I mean, sometimes you have trouble, amen. And sometimes you just feel like you're in a cycle of trouble. Chances are that you're probably facing some trouble right now. Maybe it's the occasional trouble, or maybe you're in one of those cycles that you just can't seem to break out of. And if, though, you're one of those people who say, you know what, right now life is good, it's sunny on my side of the street, and I don't have any issues. If that's your testimony right now, praise God. But I do have three words for you, though. Keep on living. Because if you don't have any troubles now, I'm telling you right now, trouble is on the way.
Amen.
Amen. Trouble is on the way. And I'm not trying to say that to scare anybody. I'm just saying that because Jesus said it. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, in this life, you shall have tribulations. That's what he said in John 16 and 33. In this life, you shall. Not, amen. First of all, in this life. Right? So if you're living, you will have trouble. Because Jesus said you shall. Not you might, not you may, but you
shall.
You shall. Mm-hmm. He said you shall have tribulation in this life. But then he said what? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. But be of good cheer is translated take heart, be of courage, be encouraged. One translation even says, cheer up. You know that's a renewed mind, amen. You got trouble, and God tells you, cheer up. Normally, we don't cheer up until the trouble leaves. But God says, cheer up in the midst of the trouble. But watch what Jesus said. He said, in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And the reason, but think about what he said. Where do we have trouble in this world? What did Jesus overcome? This world. So then if Jesus overcome the world, don't you know he overcomes our trouble, which is in this world. Which is why we can rejoice when he simply says, I've overcome the world. Because if he's overcome the world, that means he's overcome my problems and my situations, which are in this world. And so we know we're going to have problems, and you know, praise God. You know, when you were a kid and little Christian, I know you know your biggest problem is when Dad is mad at you because you spilled popcorn on the floor, or you know, he's like, oh, that's the worst thing in the world. And I'm thinking, myself, just keep on living. Wait till bills come. Oh, before even bills come, wait until girls come. When you become a teenager, and all of a sudden you start going through that, oh man, you just gonna know you in the ring of that. But you think you got troubles now, right? But isn't that the truth? That as you got older, didn't life get more complicated?
Yeah.
Life gets more complicated as you get older. I'm telling you, there's a price for freedom. I can't wait to leave my parents' house. Okay? All right? And find out how much an apartment costs, and find out how much food costs, and find out how much gas costs. And realize, amen, with the, amen, that the landlord don't love you, and the supermarket man don't love you. That you are out there in that cold, cold world.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you home and your parents ain't kicking you out, I don't care how old you are. If you in your 20s and your parents ain't kicking you out because they giving you a little leeway, you better bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name, because once they kick you out.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, that's when trouble hits. Because you find out how hard it is in this life. But we all have troubles, right? So we're not going to avoid problems. We're not going to avoid situations. But we know something. If we've given our life to Christ, then God is with us in our darkest hour. Right? When we're going through things, God is with us when things get dark and tight. And he'll shine his love. He'll shine his light on us. And he'll let us know that he will bring us through. And that's a good thing for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we have problems. In our scripture text, the widow had a problem. What was her problem? Her problem was her husband had died. And not only that, not only did her husband die, but the family had debts that they couldn't pay. And not only did they have debts that they couldn't pay, but the creditor was on his way over to the house to take her two sons into slavery so that the debt could be paid off through their labor. And that was something that was common during this time in the Near East, right? That if there was a debt to be paid, the creditor could enslave you and make you work until you paid off the debt. And so that was her problem. Now, she understood she had a problem, but she also understood something else. And you can see it in verse number 1. She understood that she and her husband had been faithful to God. She knew that. And she knew that because they'd been faithful, they had a covenant with God. That there was a promise that God had made unto them to take care of them. And you say, how do you get all of that from verse 1? Because see, if you look at it, amen, she comes and she goes to the man of God. And we're going to go there in a second. But she goes to the man of God. And she says something. She says what? She says, you know. Right? She said, my husband is dead. But look what she said. She said, thy servant. Because her husband served God by serving the man of God. Elisha. And she said, your servant, my husband. Amen. Mm-hmm. Your servant, my husband, mm-hmm. is dead. Mm-hmm. And she said, right to the man of God, and you know he referenced God. Mm-hmm. Right? That he, she used the word fear. And you know he served God. You know he was faithful to God. You know he gave his life to him. Sometimes you gotta know how you live.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. See, in order to assert your rights, and listen, don't you know, the Bible tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. Mm-hmm. Our citizenship is in heaven. And how many of you know citizens have rights? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Citizens have rights. And so I have rights that are not born of this world, but they're born in heaven. And so sometimes you have to know, amen, where you are as a citizen of heaven. And maybe you won't take certain things.
Amen.
But see, here she is now, amen. Her husband is dead, but her husband used to serve God. And she knows that. Why? How does she know? Because she served God right along with him. How do you know that? Let me tell you something, amen. If there's any man out there serving God, and he's married, 9 out of 10 times, amen, that woman is right there, maybe not in front, but behind the scenes, doing whatever is necessary to help that man serve God.
Amen.
It's a partnership.
Yes.
You hear Sister Vanilla saying the loudest amen in the house. She about to go burks on me, Sister Diana. I know that's right. But it's the truth, amen. So she was circumcised along with her husband. And she noticed, she said, you know he served God. But watch this though. She has a problem and she went to the man of God. And you know, that is so important that the widow knew where to go for help.
Yeah.
There are too many people who get in trouble and then they get into even bigger trouble because they go to the wrong people or to the wrong place for help. How many women have gotten down on their luck and went to their ex for some help? That was a mistake. How many people, amen, was a little short of money and they went on to the corner? See, that, again, this is where we come from. They went on the corner to talk to Spider. To get a few dollars to tide them over, not knowing that Spider was charging 100% interest.
Jesus, Spider.
Yeah, see? Folks out here in the land of pickup trucks, they don't know people named Spider. But you go where there's subway trains and L trains and buses, amen, there's a Spider in the neighborhood.
Yep.
Amen, come on. But you get in trouble, why? Because you go to the wrong place for help. And sometimes, amen, we can even do that, amen, in the sense of, you know, you go to the wrong place to try to, you know, or to the wrong friend.
Jesus.
If you're saved, don't go talking to your unsaved friends about help. Because see, if they can't guide you along the lines of this word of God, then they can't guide you right. Now, can God speak through anybody? Sure, he can. He can speak through Balaam's mule. But let him speak through the mule. But you should look to say, I want someone who I know is guided by the principles of God. Amen?
Amen.
This woman has some trouble, and she didn't go out. She came straight to the man of God. And the only thing is, just understand who, it's so important, who you go to for help. Everybody can't help you. And watch this. Everybody don't want to help you.
Jesus.
Oh, listen, let me tell you something. You find out who your friends and your family are when you get into a jam.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends and family ain't the ones who are coming over to your barbecue. Your enemies will come and eat free food. Your friends and your family are the ones who will be there when you don't have any food, when you don't have any money, when you don't have anybody else to talk to. That they'll be, you know, someone will show themselves as being your friend, as
yes.
being your family's
yes.
member.
Yes.
Jesus was preaching one time, and then they told him, "Your family is out here," and he said. Behold, my sisters and brothers. And he pointed to the people he was preaching to. He said, my family are those who do the will of God. Huh? It's not that he was distancing himself from his blood, but he was saying it's not about blood. It's about spirit. Amen?
Amen.
You got to know who to go to for help.
That's right.
And see, as children of God, God gives us a promise. He said what? He said, you can come boldly before the throne of grace. That you may obtain mercy and find grace to help you in time of need. And so, when we have a problem, you know, the first thing we should do? We should go to God. Amen? We should go to God. Before you go to your spouse, go to God. Before you go to your best friend, go to God. Before you go to the pastor, go to God. Amen? God has an open door for you. Why wouldn't you take advantage of it? Amen. And watch this. You can go to God without appointment. It's amazing today. Before, I used to call somebody, you know, even in business, I used to just call them. I used to get them or not get them. Now, you know what the convention is now? You have to email or text people and say, let me know when you're available because I would like to speak to you.
Yeah.
You need an open door policy.
I mean, before you just call people. Now you gotta text them and you gotta email them and find out when's a good time
him to talk. And here the God of all creation said, you can come to me anytime. No appointment necessary, no texting in advance, no email in advance. You can just come. Isn't that much better?
Amen.
Amen. We got to know when we're in trouble, who do we go to first for help? She went to the man of God. And she told the man of God, she said, listen, my husband's been faithful during his lifetime. I've been faithful. And now we're in trouble. And why did she go there? Because she knew something. She was saying, listen, if we serve God, then I know that the God we serve has made a promise to us that he will take care of us. And right now, the creditor is coming to destroy my family, to take away my two boys. And I can't believe that the God I serve is going to allow that to happen.
Wow.
I have a covenant with God. And so she comes to the man of God and she says, I have a covenant. But what does it mean that she has a covenant? We hear this word all the time. And the word covenant really it means a coming together, where people come together to form a contract or to come to some agreement. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a bond that binds two or more people together. And in the Bible, we see a lot of covenants. Joshua made a covenant with the Gibeonites. You remember how the Gibeonites tricked Joshua by acting like they came from a faraway country? Because God said you can make treaties with those from a faraway country, and the Gibeonites, who lived right around the corner, act like they came from a faraway because they didn't want the people of God to destroy them. Mm-hmm. So they said, look, we came from such a faraway, but we'll serve you, but make a covenant with us. Mm-hmm. And Joshua made a covenant with them. He made an agreement with them. David and Jonathan made a covenant with each other. You remember that? Mm-hmm. They made a covenant to be friends forever and to take care of each other's family if one of them were to die before the other. Mm-hmm. One of the most prominent covenants is the covenant of marriage. And I'm talking about marriage. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I'm not talking about that newfangled stuff. I'm talking about this.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I ain't talking about laws being passed in the last 10 years. I'm talking about stuff that's been from everlasting to everlasting. I'm talking about that kind of marriage. Get mad at me if you want. But the covenant of marriage, you remember the promises that are made, because the covenant has all these promises, right? And you remember the promises that are in the marriage covenant, right? You know, that you're going to stay together for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. You promise to love and to cherish, to have and to hold, till death do you part. Remember that? And isn't that something? Because that's what a covenant is about. Because see, covenants aren't supposed to be broken unless, the only way you could break a covenant is somebody had to die.
Yeah.
See, now people into the marriage covenant, even though it says till death do us part, man, they break that covenant, man, in a jiffy. Mm-hmm. Getting divorces, being unfaithful, disrespecting or abusing a spouse, all those types of things are breaking the covenant. Because we just, you know, modern day, we don't have a sense of what covenant is about. But if you're a child of God, you and I should know what covenant is about. Because God is a covenant-making God. Because not only do men make covenant, but God makes covenant.
Yeah.
And this widow knew that she had a covenant with God. And that's why she went to the man of God and said, listen, the bill collector is ringing my phone and telling me that he's going to come and take my son. This is not right. My husband was a faithful servant, and you know it. You know it. And so I'm coming now leaning on the covenant that I have with God. And you and I have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. The writer of Hebrews says, amen, that we have a better covenant that's established on better promises. Better than the covenant that God made with Abraham. Better than the covenant that God made with Moses. A covenant that said that you do such and such a thing, amen, and follow the laws that are written on tablets of stone, amen, I'll bless you. But God says, I'm not, the covenant nowadays is not about your outward conduct. It's about changing and allowing God, once you accept Jesus Christ, to change you. And he says, no longer is about tablets of stone, but I'm going to write my law in your heart. Amen. That's a better covenant that's established on better promises. It's not about my outward conduct based on some laws on a stone. It's about my inward change based on the law of God that's written in my heart. It's a better covenant. But you and I, as we stand here today, we are in covenant with God. And that covenant has power. And that one of the things that the covenant does, amen, is that that covenant is not only on your life, but that covenant can go on for generations. And that's why this woman is coming and saying, listen, I know my husband is gone, but that covenant is still alive.
Amen.
I know my husband is not here, but that covenant should still cover my son. I know that amen, that someone has passed on, but the power of covenant is that it goes on.
Amen.
Glory to God. Do you understand something? That if you, just like the husband who we haven't met, all we know is through his wife, that he was faithful to God.
Yeah.
Do you know that when you live a life that is faithful to God, when you sacrifice for the Lord and you dedicate your life to God, do you know that not only will he be faithful to you, but he will demonstrate his goodness to your children and to your children's children for generations to come?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Because he's a covenant-making God. And God honors his covenant. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide your needs. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to protect you. He makes promises that he will keep not only to you, but
to your children.
Amen.
I remember years ago when Sister Penelope and I gave our lives to the Lord, we made a decision. We even said it. We said that we wanted to start a legacy in our family. Now, starting, don't get me wrong, make it seem as if we started something. No, I didn't mean like that way. But we were looking around in our immediate family, and there were some people who, you know, they seemed to have an acquaintance with God. I'm just saying. They kind of knew. You know what I mean? But we didn't talk about God in a way, you know what I mean? You know, we talked about God, G-O-D, but we didn't talk about God, G-A-W-D. See, when you know what it is, when you talk about God, see, there's some people who know God, and there's some people who know God. So we didn't have the real conversation. And so it wasn't like we didn't go to church, really. But it's not like God was around. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's like God was around, but nobody really, you know. Yeah, nobody really knew him. Nobody really talked about him. You know. But he was there. But it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? And so when God captured us and captured our attention and captured our heart, we said, we want to start a legacy. So not from the standpoint that we were starting, because watch this. I truly believe something. That the only reason why Sister Vanilla and I were able to make that decision back in the, whatever it was, 1990s, whatever it was, is because somebody along the way in the family have been praying for us and have been faithful to God. And because God is a faithful God, he put his hand on us.
Amen.
At the appointed time.
Yeah.
I believe because somebody was praying for, somebody I might even know. It could have been my mom. It could have been my dad. Yeah, it could have been my dad. It could have been my dad. It could have been my grandparents. It could be someone deep down in the family tree. I don't know. But all I know is God is faithful like that. And if somebody was praying for me 400 or 500 years ago, not even for me, because they don't know me. If somebody's praying for me, they didn't know this for now, but they're praying for the generations to come. And a faithful God
years and years later, would then put his hands on somebody in honor of the promise that he made to someone way back in generations past. But watch this now. And so now that we're here and we're living for God, please understand, keep sacrificing for God. Amen. Keep serving God. Yeah. Keep worshiping God. Keep praising God. Why? Because not only will God honor you here, but he will honor your great, 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 greats that you will never see. They will reap the benefits of your faithfulness years to come because of how you're living today.
Amen.
I don't just live for me. I'm living for family members that I will never get a chance to see on this side of glory. There are some great, great, great grandchildren, amen, that I will never, ever meet who I believe God will bless them because of his faithfulness to the life that I purpose to live today. So when I think about sometimes giving up, I don't give up. Why? Because it's not just about me.
Yes.
Huh? Don't you give up. Why? Because it's not just about you. You are a covenant man. You are a covenant woman. And not only will God have your back today, but he will have your children's back tomorrow. And your great and your great grace and on and on and on.
Amen.
So you keep living for God. Amen?
Amen.
You keep living for God. So she knew she had a covenant. Covenant is powerful. So she came to him and she said, listen, my husband served you. He was faithful. And now we have these problems. And she goes to the man of God. And the man of God said to her, what do you want me to do for you? And then he said, what do you have in your house? In other words, what the man of God was saying is, okay, you're coming here standing on your covenant with God. You've been faithful, your husband's been faithful, you got a problem, and you're believing that God will show his goodness to you. But I got a question for you. What do you have in your house? What was he saying? You got a problem, and you want God to help you, but what are you willing, and what do you have that God can work with?
Yes.
Don't just come asking God for help. When you come, you need to have something that God can work with.
Wow.
Sometimes that's just a willingness to be obedient. In other words, listen, watch this. We can't just sit down in our little easy chair at home and say, I expect God to fix my problem. No, because you and I are active participants in whatever God is going to do for us that we need him to do for us. So watch this, right? What do you have in your house? He wanted to know. We got to bring something to God. Doesn't mean it got to be something valuable, like your money, but it could be. It could be your money.
Yeah.
It could be your time. It could be your faith. It could be your willingness to do something. Amen. Yeah. It could be your energy.
Amen.
Amen. It's got to be something. Amen.
Right.
You got to bring God something. You got to put something in his hands for him to work with. Listen, even when Jesus fed the 5,000, somebody had to give him a lunch. Amen. 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread.
Yes.
Amen. Could God have just made lunch? Of course he could. But he said, listen, he said, go see what kind of food you, he said, listen, go get some food. And they had to go search it. Anybody got any food? Anybody got any food? They had to search. And there had to be some little boy who was willing to give up his lunch. Are you willing to give up lunch? There are people who want to lose weight, but they don't want to give up fried chicken. And you're praying to God to help you lose weight, but you don't want to give up the fried chicken.
Amen.
You got to be willing to give up something, amen. You got to give God something to work with. You got to show him you're serious about the thing. So the man of God said, okay, I understand your problem. The creditor is coming, and your husband was faithful, and you've been faithful, but let me ask you a question. What do you have?
Right.
You want God to help you, but what do you have? And don't you understand? Please understand something. You, whatever you have, it doesn't have to be a lot.
Amen.
You can have lint in your pocket.
Jesus.
It doesn't have to be a lot. Look what the woman said to him. He said to her, what do you have? And she said to him in verse number 2, I don't have anything except a pot of oil. She didn't have a lot. All she had was a pot of oil. Now, oil was very valuable back then, right? Because, you know, oil you could use for cooking. You could use oil to put in your lamps. Amen. You could use oil for fuel. Mm-hmm. But she only had a little bit. I got one pot of oil. But the man of God wants to know, are you going to put that on the table? I have nothing except a pot of oil. So then he said to her, okay, I tell you what you do. Go to your neighbor's house and borrow some empty pots. And then he said this, and borrow not a few. Now, ears of faith would hear that and say something and know something. God's about to do something big. Because the man of God's telling me to borrow a pot, but making sure to emphasize, to tell me to borrow not a few. Mm-hmm. That means God really wants to pour out. Mm-hmm. Now she went and she obeyed. She went and she got pots. And watch this. The Bible doesn't tell us how many pots she borrowed, does it?
No.
It doesn't tell us how many pots she borrowed. But what we know is that whatever the number of pots that she borrowed, reflected her faith in how much God was going to pour out.
Wow.
You understand what I mean? It, I don't know if she bought 10, 15, or 20, but how many, whatever it was a reflection of her faith in how much God was going to pour out and fill those pots with oil. The question comes that if God said to you, go borrow pots, borrow not a few, how many would you have borrowed? Would you have borrowed 3? Would you have borrowed 5? At what point would you have said, I have enough? I believe that woman at one point, she had about 4 or 5 pots, and she just said, this is not enough. And she kept going. And she kept going until she was satisfied in her heart, I have enough. And whatever it was, she brought those pots in there, but those empty pots were a reflection of her faith. It was her expectation. It was revealing her expectation of what God was going to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, glory to God. I wish if that was all of us, I would pray that we would have so many pots that we couldn't even walk.
I know that's right.
Amen. I would pray that was the case because it would show how much we're believing God for. But how many of you know that even in the spirit realm, God could be telling you to go borrow pots and not a few, but just telling you in a different way? In other words, he's looking for you to get ready for his outpouring.
Jesus.
How many pots do you have? Because if you have 1 or 2 pots, then you're expecting God to pour out 1 or 2 pots. But if you got 20, 30, 40 pots, then that means you are expecting God to really move in your life.
Amen.
So she borrowed all these pots, right? She borrowed the pots. Amen. And what happened? It said that she kept pouring and pouring and pouring. And when did the oil stop pouring?
When she ran out.
When she ran out of pots. Do you know what that means? If she had 10 more pots, God would have filled 10 more. If she had 100 more pots, God would have filled 100 more. If she had 200 more pots, God would have filled 200 more. In other words, do you see something here? That God's willingness to help you is not based on his ability and his power. It's based on how many pots you got. It's based on how much you are looking for him to pour out into your life. Sometimes we say, oh, God's not helping me. But do you have enough pots out there?
Wow.
Or are you giving God one little pot to pour into? God will fill as many pots as you got. The Bible says that God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask.
God doesn't just want to do just a little for you or give you just enough. He wants to give you more than you need. You need $1,000, God wants to give you $100,000.
Yeah. Expand. Get more pots, will you?
Amen.
Get more pots. Listen, if the man of God says, God wants to give you $100 and you can't believe that, that's because you got $100 pot. That's all you got, $100 worth of pots. But get more pots.
Amen.
So that God can pour out into your pot. And you can say, like David said, my cup
runneth
over. Glory to God. So she comes, amen, and she asks in faith. And then she comes back. And so the oil gets poured out, until she has no more pots. She said to her son, bring me another pot. He said, no more, mom. No more. You done poured out everything. That's it. And the oil stopped. Now watch this, though. Remember we said oil was valuable? Mm-hmm. You could cook. You could light lamps. You could use it for fuel. It was a valuable commodity. And now she got all this oil around her house. Where'd she get it from? She got it from God. God did this. God blessed her with all this oil. Now watch what she does. After she gets all this oil, she doesn't throw a party. She don't have friends come over. She doesn't go to market. What does she do? Verse 7 says, she went back to the man of God. Why did she do that? Because she understood something. I got blessed because of God and the covenant I have with God. And I got blessed because the God that I have covenant with spoke through the man of God and told me what to do to deal with my problem.
Yes.
And now that God has moved in my problem and fixed some stuff, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going back to the same God who blessed me to ask him, what should I do now? That's a mistake a lot of people make. They don't do that. They pray to God for the house. They pray to God for the promotion. They pray to God for the job or for the car or for this or for that. And God blesses them with it. And instead of going to God and now asking them, what should I do with that now that I got this promotion? No, they don't do that. They just take the blessing and go walking with it. But you got to understand, the one who blessed you is the one who can help you keep the blessing. And some people get blessed by God after they pray for a long time, but because they don't ask God what they should do with the blessing goes through their hands like water. I can tell you right now, there have been some people who prayed God to bless them financially. And God opened the door miraculously to give them a financial blessing. And once they got the money, they didn't ask God what they should do with it. They just started deciding what they should do.
Jesus.
Amen. And next thing you know, that money was gone.
Yes. Exactly.
They squandered the blessing because they took the blessing but didn't go back to the one who blessed them and asked them, how should I best use this blessing that you gave me? Don't just take God's blessing and then think you know what to do with it. Because here's the thing. If you knew so much what to do, you wouldn't have been in the fix in the first place. Can I tell you a story real fast and we'll leave it? Sister Nell knows this story. I think I told this story before. We were in debt. We had credit cards, bills, and all kind of stuff. We was in debt. And I left my job and we got some unexpected money. Right? Because I left the job and some unexpected money. And a couple of tens of thousands of dollars. We got some money, brother. That's some real money. For us, especially right then. I mean, it wasn't like income tax money. It was money. You know what I mean? And watch this, though. That money, and we were broke, and bills and all. But when did that money come? God opened the door for that miraculous money to come, and that money came a few weeks before Christmas.
Wow.
I look back on that now and I know God was testing us. To see, what are you going to do with that money now? Are you going to go out there and say, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. We need a little Christmas now. Are you going to do that? But my wife and I, never forget this, amen, we had this small little lot, we lived in a small apartment, and we prayed to God.
Yeah.
What should we do with this money?
Yeah.
And just like it, God told us that, he said, pay off your bills. I'll never forget that. Because that wasn't exactly the answer I wanted.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you ask God, but you're kind of hoping that he does what you already thinking. And he didn't do that. Okay. You better sit down the building. But I will never forget this, too. I will never forget how good it felt.
Yes.
When Sister Vanell was calling up the credit card saying, if we want to pay you off today, what's the payoff amount? Oh, that was so good. Woo! Woo! How much? The check is being written right now. Oh, glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And here's the thing. I don't even know. We had a few dollars left over, but wasn't much.
Nope.
It wasn't much. And Christmas was nothing, you know, overly special that year in that sense. But you know what? We have been praying for God to pay our bills and get us out of debt. And now he said, okay, here's money. Money came. And the money didn't come for that. But since it came from God, instead of just taking that money and running and doing what we wanted to do, we stopped and asked God, what do we do with it? And he told us, pay off your bills. Now, it wasn't like here where he told pay off your bills and live off the rest. It wasn't no living off the rest.
That's right.
It wasn't no living off the rest. But those bills were paid.
Amen.
And from that day, amen, we started managing our finances totally different. But here's something else that I believe happened. I believe this. I don't have anything written down. God didn't. I just believe this in my spirit. That when we did that, amen, I believe when God gave order, pay off your bill, all heaven was looking.
Yeah.
God was looking. Jesus was looking. The angels were looking. They were looking to see what we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did what God said, I believe God gave Jesus a little nudge and said, we can trust that.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise we can God. Trust that. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So what am I saying? Don't just take your blessing and go running with it. Do you know how many people have blown a promotion because once they got the promotion, they got the big head? And they walked in trying to disrespect people and doing all these things that they saw on TV. And then people don't like them. People don't want to work with them. Department productivity go down. And how many of you know, the buck stops with you now.
Mm-hmm.
Your department's not productive. We got to get rid of you. Oh, but if you would have prayed unto God, God, thank you for this promotion. Show me now how I should operate in this. Give me your wisdom that I can do things in the right way. Help me to be supernaturally productive and efficient that I can glorify you, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. God will start speaking unto you and giving you plans and giving you ideas and giving you favor. And now not only do you have a promotion, but you now got another promotion on the way because you're so successful in this one.
That's right.
So, she went back to the man of God and said, what should I do? And he said, go sell your oil. Watch this part. Because selling the oil means you're going to get some money. Mm-hmm. And he had to make sure, he was very specific. Sell the oil, get some money. Pay your bills. God believes in you paying your bills. Okay?
Yes. Pay your bills.
Pay your bills. And what he said, and you and your sons live off the rest. That is, see, this is a part of not only that the woman was in covenant with God, but she knew she had a covenant with God. Mm-hmm. Amen. But she also knew that being in covenant doesn't mean that you just accept the blessings of God and think you don't bring anything to the table. And then when God blesses you,
that you just go running off with your blessing.
Right.
But you come back to the God who blessed you and say, now what? Mm-hmm. Amen? And now, because she did that, her and her sons not only got out of the debt, but they lived a good life for the rest of their lives. Amen?
Amen.
So here's the thing. If you are in covenant with God, if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're in covenant with God.
Yeah.
Amen? And because you're in covenant with God, you can go to God, amen, and stand on your covenant rights. God, I am your child. You promised that you would take care of me. And you're not doing it in a way of like trying to push him around. You're just letting him know, I know who I am in you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm your child.
Yeah.
I know you're going to take care of me.
Yeah.
And right now I'm in a fix. I'm in a bond. I'm in some trouble. But you promised me, God, that you would be there for me. And so, Father, I ask you to show yourself strong in my life right now. Open my eyes that I might see your hand moving in my life. Give me the faith. Strengthen my faith. Increase my faith that I can believe on you even the more for whatever it is that you want to do to get me out of this mess.
Yes.
And God, if you need me to, whatever you need me to bring to the table, just speak to my heart and it's yours.
Yes.
Or you can sit back and just want God to do it all. But if God is saying to you and to me today, I got your back, is only talking about he already has pushed us out into the fight.
Mm-hmm.
That good fight of faith, amen, that we're taking on every day of this year and for the rest of the time that we are walking this green earth. And we're going to do it knowing that if we conduct ourselves as people who have a covenant with God, that we, as Jesus said, can be a good chief. When those problems that Jesus promised will come into our lives. We're not going to fret. We're not going to panic. We're not going to throw in the towel. But we're going to know, wait a minute. The God I serve, the God that I have a covenant with, told me to cheer up.
Amen. That's right.
Because he made a promise to me that he's going to take care of me and my family. And I'm leaning on that promise that he made. I'm leaning on my covenant rights. And when I do that, I believe God's going to show up so strong and show that he really does have my back and going to bring me victory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're coming out fighting this year. And we're not fighting like some scaredy cats fighting.
Amen.
We're not fighting like we want them to call off the fight and, you know, shorten the fight or anything like that. But let's understand this. If you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you have a covenant with him. But here's the other thing. If you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm just saying, you don't have a covenant. But here's the thing. You can change that right here, right now.
Yes.
Amen. Anybody, amen. Because I know people listen to the DVD or whatever. Or DVD. Well, you know what I mean. They listen to the recording. If you don't know God, you don't have the covenant, but you can change that now and forever by just simply inviting Jesus into your heart. Say, be my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
You don't need no magic words. You don't need to be no special place. You don't need no special occasion. You can just say to Jesus, I'm inviting you into my life to be my Lord and Savior.
That's it.
And Jesus will come in, and now you become a covenant man, a covenant woman, and you have a promise with God. I got your back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got your back. And so when you get into some trouble, don't worry. You just come lean on your covenant.
Amen.
And remember how this widow conducted herself. Don't just ask for help. Expect to bring something to the table. And then after God blesses you, amen, according to how many pots you have out there, amen, he's going to bless you. And then after he does that, go back to him and say, Lord, what now?
Amen.
Glory to God. That's how we get through some stuff. Amen. And come out on top in victory. Come on, let's pray this morning. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, on this day. We thank you on this day, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you spoke to our hearts. You spoke to our minds. You continue to encourage us and build us up in our faith. And Father, thank you for reminding us that we are covenant men, covenant women through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a covenant with the God of all creation. Father, you made a promise to care for us, oh God, to provide for us, to guide us, to lead us, to protect us, oh God, to just bless us. And so, Father God, when we fall into those troubles, glory to God, let us do as your word says, to count it all joy, knowing, God, that deliverance is nigh. And Father, we're praying that you will continue to minister the word that you have spoken unto us about this widow and her oil. Help us, oh God, to glean from the scriptures and even from what you've already spoken, even deeper truths that we can apply to our lives, that we, God, can walk in the full blessing of the covenant that we have with you.
Yeah.
Father, we ask you to increase our faith. We ask you, God, to continue, oh God, to grow us up and to mature us, oh God, in the things of the Spirit.
Yes.
And Father, we are excited and encouraged, oh God, that as we embark, oh God, from this place, that God, we go in victory because you, God, are right by our side and you have our back and you are there to fulfill every promise that you have made unto us. God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he shall bring it to pass. Father, we rest our faith on this truth, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.